Ahora, si la puerta que no va a tener acceso, si yo veo el perfil, no lo veo.
Everything here is
test.
I'm pulling her proxy. He didn't text me. I'm very excited. We can run a show up. Are you going to be here the entire time?
What?
Are you going to be here the entire time? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Are we expecting a big goal? I
You are.
only I only for
Yeah. Meet me. He's going to present at 5:30, not 5:30. He's going to present at over the.
Okay.
Beautiful. It's the Sandifer, my child. Hey.
Okay.
The time is 4:45. Reps, if I can get you all to take your seats.
Oh, those sheets are really, really well. Thank you.
All right. If I can get everyone to take a seat, please. The time is 4:46. I call this meeting to order. Can we get a roll call, please?
Divya Akiraju, Amita Akpan, Marwa Bakri, Lucia Balastrary, Lizzie Barrett, Issa Tuberi.
I'm holding her proxy.
Franklin Berry. Simone Chan. Rocco DiLorenzo.
Present.
Zora Daram.
Present.
David Diao.
Present.
Paris Everett.
Present.
Christian Flournoy. Allison Helkowski. Niles Height. Cassandra Jordan.
I'm holding a proxy. Okay, hold on now.
Sion Kim.
I'm holding her proxy, David Diao.
Clyde Letterman. Flora Meng.
Present.
Yash Moitra. Ezigo Nonye.
Present.
Suraj Parikh.
Present.
Casey Platkin.
Present.
Stel, oh, Imani Rezeka.
I'm holding her proxy.
Stellar Sun.
Present.
David Suarez, Benjamin Terhar,
He's on the Zoom.
Claire Ting,
Present.
Adam Vinson,
Present.
Amy Wang, then Patrick Keel.
What's our total for today? Okay, the next order of business is reading of the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayo-Gohono Cayuga Nation. The Gayo-Gohono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayo-Gohono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayo-Gohono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. The next order of business is the announcements from the Office of Ethics.
Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. I'll keep this pretty short, but it's essentially three updates on certain things that we should be implementing. One, of course, is resolution and draft accessibility. In general, in the assembly, late additions to the agenda are always possible, but they're muddled when people do not have access to the resolution that is being offered, especially since when you motion to add them, you cannot then go on and explain what they're on. So, in general, all committees and all committee chairs should be hosting all their drafts, minutes and other information on the box, create a folder, just host it there. It's easier for everybody. Additionally, late additions to the agenda. Of course, this is a power that the assembly has always had, in order to allow for wide arrays of resolutions to be heard. However, it shouldn't be taking the place of committee, which is the formal pathway for committee members and representatives alike to be part of the resolution process. In theory, as you deliver on your campaign promises, please ensure that you're using committees as, you know, the primary structure. And of course, if you do have a lead addition to the agenda, things happen. Be sure to email in advance, make sure that all people can read it. Use the time before the meeting to also pitch it as well, so that nobody's caught off guard. And more importantly, tonight, everybody will be receiving a Google form. It is an anonymous Google form soliciting commentary on meetings, votes, and other accessibility issues in the Student Assembly. This term of the Student Assembly is very unique, as we've been using it as a time to review and rewrite a lot of our rules and governing documents. A lot of this was done before a lot of the new representatives came, but your voices are just as valid as the people who came before you. So this form will essentially be polling your takes on certain issues, whether it be Zoom use in meetings, attendance policies, email votes, whether or not we should have them or not, and proxy votes. So definitely keep an eye out for that. It'll be on Zoom. I'll also be sending out an email. But yeah.
I have a question. You said it was going to send out a Google form. You said that's anonymous?
Oh, yeah. The Google form will be anonymous. It's not collecting anything like emails, names, anything like that. It's essentially just asking you for your feedback on certain issues.
All right. The next order of business is the open microphone. The chair will now recognize any community member who wishes to speak at this time. Each community member may speak up to 3 minutes. Vice President Letterman.
Hello, folks. Thanks for being here today, and thank you for all of our community members who are present. The more information passed about Siraj is sort of a media perspective on this, but I know we've all seen what's going on Side Chat today. Patrick, unfortunately, is not here. He's in San Francisco right now, which was a last-minute commitment that came up. He has an interview there, but I know this is all going on. I just wanted to address this out in the open. I think feel free to reach out to him if you have questions. If you don't have his phone number, me or Claire can send it to you. But I think it's important that even though there's sort of larger drama here, that as an assembly, we stick together. We're only one part of the shared governance machine here at the university. So make sure that you're sort of, we're mindful of that. And then we're sticking together and sort of anything that comes up, I'm sure he'll be happy to answer your questions. So I just wanted to pass that along. I know Siraj has a little more information to provide about recent ongoings. One concerning thing I did learn today was that someone's car was keyed and some sort of defamatory message was written on it as related to this whole sort of write-in candidacy issue. So I just hope even here we can keep this all civil and be mindful of the impacts of what we say and do. So I'll pass it over to Siraj.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure most of you have probably heard by now the obviously controversy that has been going on. And I think this is kind of just to let the public and also members of the assembly know a little bit about our perspective on this. So obviously, as I'm sure you all know, President Kuhl put a write-in campaign in Ward 4 for this previous election and for the Ithaca Common Council. We've received a lot of concerns that questions really that they asked, like, was the SA involved at an institutional level? What was the SA's position on this? Were we helping this writing campaign? And I think I really want to clarify that on behalf of the Student Assembly, we as an institution don't take like any stance on political races or political campaigns. We strive to remain neutral, especially when these campaigns are involving Cornell alumni and Cornell students. And again, like the SA as an institution has in no way like been involved with the campaigns, and we continue to remain in neutrality because we represent the entire undergraduate student body. At the same time, I think a lot of the discourse has been around this idea that, like, for some reason, students, because we are Cornell students, cannot be involved in the political process. And I think the assembly would probably echo the sentiment that just because we are students at Cornell does not mean we have a voice. We don't have a voice in the Ithaca community. We comprise a majority of the population in Ward 4 and Ward 5, which is College Town, West Campus, and North Campus, respectively. And it's important that, you know, we as students remain involved in the community because there is a long history of community involvement that has been beneficial to both permanent residents and Cornell students as well. So we hope that, you know, all the conversation around this can, you know, cause people to be more respectful in their political discourse, but also remain more engaged in their community. Obviously, this is, you know, the freedom of expression year. So take this as a reminder to do your civic duty, vote in elections, run for office if you want, vote through the Student Assembly, the Common Council, and any other means. And again, as Clyde was saying, we like definitely condemn any sort of like political intimidation, including what happened today to a member of the Cornell community. Yeah, and just to give a heads up to everybody, we are going to release some sort of like statement to the students and the community about this, just so we can clarify the essay's position and make sure everybody's aware what's going on. If anybody has any questions or comments or thoughts about this, I would encourage you to share it. But yeah, thank you all for being here and like participating in what like really is important to our community.
Thank you for that. And I'd like to say that I echo very much so the same sentiments. We as a community are stronger together. At this time, I'll now be opening open microphone to the broader Cornell community. I know I see we have a lot of community members today. If anyone would like to come up and speak, once again, you have up to 3 minutes and I'll give you a gavel bang at 30 seconds remaining.
Hello.
Can you speak a little closer to the mic?
Hello. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Allison. I'm on the e-board of Gender Justice Advocacy Coalition, and I just wanted to speak. So on behalf of GJAC, I wanted to clarify that the reason for GJAC's decrease in funding is not because of the student assembly's direct desire to stop funding trans tape. We wanted to first expel that rumor. But we also wanted to address that this decision may impact our resources for the community.
Can you speak closer to the mic, please?
Yes, sure. So I just wanted to read a few statements that have come in recently regarding the positive impact of GJAC's work, mission, and funding in the past. So one student has said, as an institution that is supposedly deliberate about fostering a diverse student body, it would be a grave mistake to reduce GJAC's funding. GJAC provides resources for students on campus who came to Cornell being promised an environment where they will be supported in an intentional manner. GJAC is a prime example of an intentional community of people with unique experiences. This is a group focused on coming up with important interventions for students on campus who, though they may have been historically underrepresented, would need support the most. Without funding for GJAC, it's a simple fact that the students on this campus will lack resources which they not only need, but which will make them feel supported by this institution. It may seem like these are just menstruation products and or gender-related medical supplies, which one can get elsewhere. But these resources are not only inaccessible to many, but are most importantly, a message about who and what is important at this institution. Another student has said, I've had an amazing experience using trans-affirming products provided by GJAC. Another student has stated, I know that people truly appreciate the menstrual products and Plan B in the center. It's the only resource for people who have no access to those products to obtain free ones. It would be astounding to see these not available at the center, especially since it's been a solace for people's needed resources for so long. I'm shocked that this decision was brought up and want to heavily advocate for the continued funding of these products. One GJAC alumni also reached out and they said, for decades, the Gender Justice Advocacy Coalition, formerly known as the Women's Resource Center Executive Board, has championed the efforts of women and gender marginalized folks across the Cornell community and beyond. The organization has been central to campus-wide programming that uplifts the efforts of women and gender marginalized folks across the Cornell community. Its position as a funding network for grassroots initiatives promotes a space for other organizations to collaborate with each other in ways that centers community with intersectionality at the forefront. In a time where humanity is facing such polarization and collective struggle, and where our basic human rights are being questioned, it would be yet another step in the wrong direction to inhibit GJAC from fulfilling their full potential by decreasing their funding. That was for no time. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other community members who want to come up at this time? Going once, going twice.
Greetings, members of the Student Assembly. I'll make this really quick. My name is Ocean Kareem. I am a queer person here on campus, and I have benefited from queer communities, queer organizations on campus to be able to support me, support my friends, and support many other people who I care about as they continue to live their lives on campus. And as a queer person, to see that there is a budget cut that's being imposed on a queer organization, that hurts me a lot because I can understand that with the Student Assembly, y'all do incredible work, especially with managing over a $2 million budget. And you have to make sure that funding is being distributed adequately and stuff. But at the same time, especially with budget cuts and stuff, we can only do so much with the amount of budget that we already have. And for an organization to then get a downsizing when they're literally doing amazing work, as the previous speaker has mentioned before, to get such a decline is going to be impactful to not only the organization at large, but also the members that they serve and the other members that potentially they're going to be able to serve, to almost all other LGBTQ people that benefit from the existence, the very own existence of queer organizations such as GJAC or Haven or many others. I think that it's a decision that y'all will have to reconsider if you really do want to support the LGBTQ community here on campus. That is all. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Princess Odom, and I'm a junior here at Cornell. I first found about the Gender Equity Resource Center, previously named the Women's Resource Center, in my sophomore year at Cornell. And since then, it has been a staple in my college experience. I was first able to get my first binder when they were giving free ones out sometime last semester. I don't work there, but I might as well because I'm there a lot. And in my time there, I see so many students walking in and out, grabbing free period products, free Plan B, contraceptive and such. It's a space where a lot of people feel safe on campus when a lot of times gender expansive students aren't often given those spaces on campus. I feel like it would set a very dangerous precedent in cutting the funding for these organizations that give so much of a basis for so many students. So many of the events that they throw is a very central part of my life. And I know a lot of my friends and other broader community members is a central part of their experience here at Cornell. And I think reducing funding, especially when these organizations are only asking to have enough to continue the work that they're doing, I feel like they should be given more so that they're able to do more work on campus. But yeah, I think it shows, again, like the last person said, what we decide to, or the people that we decide to support here at Cornell that already feel ostracized and not given all of the needs that they need to be met. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Catherine Estrell, and I'm the co-president of Planned Parenthood Generation Action at Cornell, which is the advocacy chapter of Planned Parenthood on campus. And I'll make it short also, but I just wanted to say we've had a fantastic relationship with GJAC and the Gender Equity Center, formerly the Women's Resource Center, all the time that I've been here since being a freshman and I'm now a senior. I know that space and the work that happens in that space is really important to the people who are in our club as a space that they can rely on to go with no questions asked for things that they might need. And I'm just thinking over a few of the past resolutions this assembly has passed in the last year that articulated values, caring about reproductive health care on campus, caring about abortion access on campus. These were words that this assembly put on paper and said that these are things that our campus and we as students care about. So I think this proposal to take money away from this organization would be inconsistent with those values that have been previously articulated. And the issue of keeping track of where certain menstrual products are going, just wanna underline that they're necessary products and aren't complicated or super expensive things. They're things that we need, kind of like putting toilet paper in the bathroom, and to keep track of that would not only be very difficult, but is making some kind of assumption about what's happening to them when something that's not just very straightforward, which is just need. So thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lauren Sherman, and I'm vice president of the Cornell Democrats. As a club, we stand in solidarity with GJAC. They stand with our values as a community and broader Ithaca, in the broader Ithaca area. They have specifically helped us fund programs to support women and the broader LGBT community in our own club. And we heavily disagree with the decision to decrease their funding, as they have done so much great work to help us as a community.
Hi, my name's Leah Becker. I'm a freshman, and I just wanted to say how important the Gender Justice Resource Center has been while I've been here. I've really appreciated that there are free menstrual products somewhere on campus. And a safe, very comfy space to be when things aren't going so great. So I really hope that you don't reduce the funding of that.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sydney Kang, and I just wanted to say that, you know, in recent announcements that the Cornell administration has made, you know, they reaffirmed their alignment with the Any Person, Any Study kind of slogan that Cornell has had for so many years. And by taking away funding from the Gender Equity Resource Center, that is completely at odds with saying that you stand with the idea of any person in any study. In a university where the majority of students are women, non-binary and other gender non-conforming people, to take away funding from such an essential resource is creating an environment where Cornell would be showing that they don't stand with the students who use these resources and don't want to make their educational experience as easy as it could be. One of the biggest things is at school, every single person goes through different things that makes it difficult for them to bring them their best selves to class each day. By taking away resources in this way, it will make it even harder for gender nonconforming and women to be able to bring their best selves to class. And I think that in that way, Cornell would be going directly against kind of the things that they stand for, saying this any person, any study. So I think that one of the most important things that I kind of am taking away from this is like a level of hypocrisy, that if these resources aren't being kept at the level that they are, and, you know, funding is trying to be getting taken away from these resources, it's showing that Cornell isn't trying to aid the other people that are at this university that make up a huge majority to be able to bring themselves to class and have the resources, like the basic human resources that they need in order to be able to be students on this campus.
Hello, my name is Logan. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. And when I speak, I would be great if I had everyone's attention. I see someone looking in their lap. I know what that means. I am a student myself. So I am coming to you as a junior. I'm coming to you as an employee of the Gender Equity Resource Center, as a former two-term president of Haven, the LGBTQ student union, and I'm coming to you as well as a member of Collective X. All of the above that I mentioned benefit from the funding of GJAC, either through co-sponsorship, through collaboration, or just being there when a girl is in their time of need in the bathroom. And I am very disappointed in the fact that many people have voted on in favor of decreasing the amount of aid that GJAC gets. And I read the rationale of why, and it cited rollover. We were in a very detrimental pandemic that knocked out many student organizations. Many student organizations have went extinct. Many of them are endangered because of the lack of support and the lack of community surrounding them. And GJAC is the same. Haven was the exact same. We had a lot of rollover my first 2 years that I was president for. And to see that be held against them, to see that still be held against them as if we're not in a dire time of need, as if not this year, gender justice is more important than ever. Gender advocacy for especially students is more important than ever. And seeing a 10 cent decrease while flipping through and seeing the increase of proof for this organization, and the student assembly itself is very disappointing. The work I feel like is undercut, the amount of work that they do, GJAC, as far as providing menstrual products, when the university won't do that. We've asked, they won't do that. When the Gender Equity Resource Center does not have the bandwidth to do that, to cut that funding after GJAC starts such an outstanding initiative that the university itself would not come up with to support menstruating students, which is far over half, is very disappointing. If gender justice is not just an LGBTQ issue, it is a people issue. And seeing a 10 cent decrease demonstrates to me that it's not understood that this is an intersectional people issue and that GJAC needs to be supported through their times of need. Thank you.
If there are no more community members who want to speak at this time.
Hi, my name is Kate. In July of 2018, New York State passed a law that requires all public schools to provide free menstrual products in bathrooms to students in middle school and high schools. And the fact that we don't have that on a college campus at an elite Ivy League institution is disgraceful. And to decrease funding for a program that single-handedly provides access to menstrual products is in extremely poor taste. And I'm also speaking on behalf of the Women's Wrestling Club here on campus, and GJAC has been extremely supportive in our cause of creating a safe space for folks to practice a male-dominated sport. And like others have said, I think decrease in funding would show Cornell's true priorities to who it serves and who it accommodates to. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bahram Retu. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Basic Needs Coalition. I was on the student assembly just last year, at which point a lot of groups came up to us talking about the insecurities that women face on campus. And it's a serious issue because last year we were just talking about how we weren't providing menstrual aid products in the bathrooms, how everything was funded through GJAC, how everything was funded through all these other funds, how people needed to constantly apply for a new grant every year. And if people didn't apply for those grants every year, guess what? Those menstrual products aren't there. Those resources for the people on this campus who genuinely need them are not here. We already know they're not here. We had Planned Parenthood come up in here last year talking about how we need to have more funding so that we can provide a gynecologist on campus. And we heard a no from President Pollack. And the student assembly was mad and upset, only to find a year later that we're, what, slashing GJAC's budget? It comes to a point where we genuinely have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? And how are we maintaining the responsibilities that your constituents, the people who voted for you, the people in this room right now, asked of you? That's all. Thank you. Also, Basic Needs is doing a pop-up soon where we're providing menstrual bleeding. We're providing all housing and all housing and security needs, so household products as well as menstrual aid products. So,
We have a speaker on the Zoom, Lily Becker. You have the floor.
Hi, everyone. I'm an alumni of Cornell, and I was on the board of GJAC starting in 2021. I'm just here to show my support for GJAC and all of their necessary programming. I'm really disappointed to see that funding is being cut for such an important resource on campus, and I really urge you all to reconsider. Thanks for having me.
Seeing as there's no more speakers at this time, we're going to be closing open microphone. Okay, the next order of business is approving the minutes. If everyone could just open up box real quick, make sure that everything in there is correct, spelling. Take a look at that. Do we have any motions on the floor at this time?
Motion to confirm the meeting minutes.
There's a motion. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we have approved the November 2nd meeting minutes. Okay, on to the next order of business. VP DiLorenzo.
All right. Well, I move to suspend the rules and move up Resolution 38, adjusting the 2024-26 student activity fee allocations for Cornell University Program Board and the TACON Center for New Students on the agenda before the Vice President for Finance reports.
There is a motion. Just as a reminder, this was the TACON orientation report that we had from last week. There's a second. Do we have any dissent? Unanimous consent?
Yes.
Seeing no dissent, this motion passes. Nothing on the consent calendar, no presentations. We'll now be moving into reports. Make your motion.
Motion to suspend the rules and move the, or I guess I move add the student assembly byline report to the report section of the appropriations committee after the gender justice advocacy center.
There's a motion on the floor. Do we have a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, this motion passes.
I would like to motion to move for the reports, have GJAC be the first report before orientation.
There's a motion on the floor. Do we have a second? Any dissent?
Dissent.
There's been a dissent. We'll now go into voting. Seeing as we're suspending the rules, we'll need a two-thirds majority, so 18 votes in order to have this motion pass. All those in favor, please raise your placards. All those against? All those with proxies voting for? And all those with proxies voting against? All those abstaining? In an overwhelming vote of 23-1-0, this motion passes. On to the next order of business. We'll now be going into the Vice President of Finance byline reports. Reflecting the most recent motion, the first order of business will be GJAC.
Is on the agenda.
That's on the running. So
the next order of business will be resolution 38 discussing 2024 student activity fee allocations. Vice President Letterman.
Second.
There's been a motion. There is now dissent. We'll now have to go into voting. Once again, it's a two-thirds vote. All those in favor, please raise your placards. All those against? All those abstaining? All those with proxies voting for? All those with proxies voting against? In an obvious vote, this motion fails. So to clarify, we're going to discuss this TAC and Center resolution. Then we'll go into VP Finance reports. The order will be GJAC, Orientation, Multicultural Greek Fraternity Council, Haven, and then Student Assembly.
Okay. Well, first things first, because we couldn't do my officer report. I have to report the fact that this weekend we're meeting with the final byline organizations. This is the last time APSCOM is meeting this semester. We're meeting with EARS, Alana, and Cornell Minds Matter from 11 to 3 p.m. in Upson Hall 146. I will also add that the agenda was structured in a way where we could get through all of the low-hanging fruit bylines before we obviously debate one of them. And so next week, we're going to have to deal with everyone that we don't get to today, as well as the three for next week, and we have to present the entire thing. So I hope you guys have blocked off some time. Okay, so resolution 38 is basically, this recommends the adjustment of the Cornell University Program Board allocation from $17 to $15.39. And the TACON Center for New Students recommended allocation should be increased from $12.25 to $13.86 for the 2024 to 26 SAF cycle. So basically last week, Kevin came in, he talked about orientation, he talked about the need for the shared event to happen during the orientation week. And so because we want to see a 50-50 split in the partnership,
This resolution basically decreases the CUPB allocation by the equivalent of $25,000 of what's expected to be the student activity fee money next year, and then adds that back onto the TACON Center. So it takes it, you know, we're not double counting anything, we're just moving it from CUPB to TACON. With all that being said, or I guess, be it therefore resolved, the CUPB recommended allocation should be decreased from $17 to $15.39. To a recommended allocation of $15.39, and the TACON Center recommendation allocation should be increased from $12.25 to $13.86 for the 24 to 26 SAF cycle. Be it finally resolved, the Appropriations Committee considers the orientation speakers events to be split 50-50 between CUPB and the TACON Center for New Students in the 2026 to 28 SAF allocation cycle. So with that, I'll open up the floor to questions if people have any about this.
The floor is now open. Representative Wallen.
Being that we went over this last week, we all should be able to vote favorably of this. There shouldn't be too many questions. So I will motion to end debate.
There's the motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any dissent? And that was by unanimous consent. Seeing no dissent, this resolution passes.
Yeah.
All right, on to the next order of business. VP DiLorenzo, you have the floor regarding GJAC's byline application.
Okay. Just give me a minute to find paper.
If the representatives of GJAC want to also take the table or the seats next to VP DiLorenzo. And feel free to pull up a chair too.
So yeah, to start things off, I know usually we put a time cap on most of these.
Please speak closer into the microphone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, point of inquiry.
Point of inquiry recognized.
I'm just recognizing that Representative Wallen asked to end debate, but not to vote on the resolution. So I don't think we technically parliamentarian, if I'm not mistaken, we technically didn't vote on it. We just ended debate and then moved on.
And that is a point of order on procedure?
More, yeah, I'm just, is that what we did, parliamentarian? I don't know. I'm asking.
Representative Wallen, was your motion to end debate or to vote?
It was one of those, like, we vote by unanimous consent. We don't have to do the thing. No, it's a vote.
So your motion was to vote.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Do we have to end debate first to do that?
Parliamentarian, would you like to make a call?
As the question was on the motion to end debate, we still do need to formally adopt the resolution. So I'll let the chair handle the voting on resolution 38.
Can I motion to vote by unanimous consent?
Yes, you may.
So I motion to vote on resolution 38 by unanimous consent.
There's a motion on the floor. Do we have a second? There's a second. Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, this time the resolution officially passes. Are there any other points of inquiry or order on the floor? Seeing none, VP DiLorenzo, you have the floor.
Sweet. All right. So I'm just going to read this report through and then talk about the different findings and timeline throughout the week because we've started to get a more clear picture on the financials of GJAC. So the Appropriations Committee recommends funding GJAC at $3.35 for the 24 to 26 SAF cycle. The Gender Justice Advocacy Coalition is a byline-funded student organization committed to justice and advocacy for all genders. GJAC operates out of the intersectional and global lens with a focus on gender-marginalized folks. GJAC aims to encourage meaningful and critical conversation related to gender-lived experiences of all people GJAC seeks to foster relationships with campus partners in order to support and amplify the work of Cornell social justice organizations through funding awareness, awareness raising, and advocacy. So as an umbrella organization with heavy ties to the Gender Equity Resource Center, formerly known as the Women's Resource Center, the Gender Justice Advocacy Coalition helps to create a strong sense of community among student organizations. Cornell resource centers and departments focus around gender advocacy, equity, and inclusion. GJAC contributes to the Cornell community by building a strong support network for historically underrepresented and marginalized individuals, groups, and organizations. Additionally, GJAC is most proud of our free menstrual hygiene product initiative across the Cornell campus. Our initiative supplies all Cornell restrooms with eco-friendly menstrual hygiene products in an inclusive and equitable manner. Menstrual hygiene products are the basic necessity for a large portion of Cornell students and can be inaccessible due to the price. GJAC is proud of their free menstrual hygiene products initiative because it has a large impact across the Cornell community. Many students, faculty, and staff have approached GJAC at club fests or events thanking us for our initiative and showing support for more initiatives like this one. So those were directly from the form that was submitted. So since GJAC is classified as a supplementary funding organization, they have two primary functions. The first of which is to allocate funding to the suborgs, and the second is to develop their own programming initiatives where it hosts programming events for the community. So operationally, GJAC has an exec board of 7 members, with 1 being a senior, 2 being juniors, and 2 being sophomores, and 2 being freshmen. The board meets weekly to give their respective updates and work on tasks of the organization needs to complete. So regarding its overall calendar of events, GJAC organizes its own programming with its Feminism Food for Thought meetings. These meetings occur a few times throughout the year, and attendees discuss related topics while eating at a Cornell dining hall. In addition to this, the 2022-23 academic year, GJAC funded the ASL interpreter for Take Back the Night, hosted a Valentine's event, and organized a feminist book raffle online and event. Moreover, with their allocation, GJAC funds trans tape, emergency contraceptives, and pregnancy tests to give away for free. In terms of GJAC's primary expense categories, these can be broken down into their Feminism Food for Thought event, their allocations to sub-organizations, and internal expenditures. In 22-23 academic year, these comprise 27.3% of GJAC's total expenses, with the other 72% going towards funding of the menstrual product giveaway initiative. All of these stats that we're throwing out in here are somewhat incorrect in their specificity of them with the new updated numbers that we received, but we can go through that after we get through this report. So regarding the allocations to suborgs, in that expense category, there existed no maximum cap on the amount of funding an organization could receive from the previous academic years. In the 2022-23 academic year, GJAC funded 7 sub-organizations, Building Ourselves Through Sisterhood and Service, otherwise known as BOSS, Collective X, Consent Ed, Lace Femmes, Day Substance, Planned Parenthood Generation Action, the Women Leaders of Color, and the Women's Resource Center / Gender Equity Center, Gender Equity Resource Center, which is now what they're called. An average, allocation per org of around $2,252. And in the 2022-23 academic year, this expense category comprised around 19% of the year's total expenses. Moving forward in the current academic year, GJAC stated that they are setting up a max annual funding cap of $1,000 per partnership board and have budgeted to fund a maximum of 10 of those organizations throughout the year. Although GJAC has previously hosted their Feminism Food for Thought event upwards of 15 times during the academic years in the past, in the 2022-23 academic year, GJAC only hosted this event, and it was one time. We got more info, I believe it's around nine times at this point, 8 or 9, during that year. In the 22-23 academic year, this expense category comprised 0.24% of that year's total expenses, and based on their planned expenses for the 24-25 and 25-26 academic year, GJAC intends to host the Feminism Food for Thought event around 18 times per year moving forward. The final primary category of expenses is GJAC's internal expenditures, which in the 2022-23 academic year primarily funded the trans tape, emergency contraceptive plan B, and pregnancy tests that GJAC gives away. In the 22 to 23 academic year, this expense category comprised 7.81% of that year's total expenses. In the out of this expense category, 86.87% of the was used to fund TransTape Emergency Contraceptives Plan B and Pregnancy Tests. During the pandemic restrictions period, and this moves on to the programming part, GJAC amassed a large rollover balance, and going into the 21 to 22 academic year, GJAC had a beginning balance that was approximately equal to around 103% of their SAF allocation from that year. During this year, using funds from the Student Assembly Infrastructure Committee, GJAC organized an effort to restart the free menstrual product giveaway, and throughout the 21 to 22 academic year, GJAC struggled to spend their SAF allocation on other organizational activities, such that when going into the 22 to 23 academic year, the beginning balance of GJAC amounted to around 166% of their SAF allocation from that academic year. Due to the delayed charge of the, and this is the part that we can touch on later, but basically it was stated in the initial Excel sheet that the charge was basically delayed for the menstrual product giveaway initiative, and that amount amounted to up to around $59,000, and that was charged in the 2022 to 23 academic year, meaning that the organization entered the 23 to 24 academic year with a beginning balance approximately equal to around 104% of their SAF allocation from this current academic year. Transitioning to the current cycle. So GJAC is seeking funding to remain the same of their SAF allocation of $3.45 from the 2022 to 24 academic year. GJAC cited that the reason for this request was due to significant rollover balance that they continued to carry from year to year. And in the 24 to 25 and 25 to 26 academic year, GJAC had budgeted their total expenses to be around 151% greater than their total requested SAF funding. Assuming that 15,345 students pay the fee and GJAC receives $3.45 per student per year. So, well, we can't say the exact numbers. People like play along and multiply those numbers, and that was pretty much what they were expecting to spend. Notably, in their budget model for 24-25 and 25-26 academic year, GJAC incorporated the menstrual product giveaway funding into their annual expenses, meaning that this is based on historical data for the initiative. Around 73.83% of their annual expenses will be spent on giving away these products. So since these now it kind of divulges into the rest of the report, which basically just discusses how, if it's such a large part of their budget, they should have a little more oversight of it. I think right now, like, we'll give a summary of like the new info conversations that have happened over the past few days, just so people can get a better picture on what's actually going on within this organization. So it was last night when I called McKenna and Lauren, and we talked about the appeal, and I just wanted to know specifics, if there was anything in there. And so they talked about some of the misrepresentation of statistics, which lines up with the fact that I was pulling these numbers from the sheet that was submitted. They had their own internal sheet, so that's why they looked a little wrong. When this occurred, I was like, yep, we can go in and correct some of this stuff. If we can see that like this event was hosted X amount of times in that year, not a big deal. And then I also requested a follow-up report from the Menstrual Product Initiative as well, and just how many products were bought since COVID. It was then sort of stated that instead of, you know, like, let's take, for example, let's say year zero, right? Year zero was the 2022 to 23 academic year. And that's when that charge of $59,000 in the free period products were being given away and spent. My thought, and based on the sheet, and the sheet read, in compliance with the last byline cycle, expenses account for an additional $59,063 for the previous transfer of funds to free period products amount. So I was thinking that funding was a delayed charge from the 2021 to 22 academic year. I'm going to have to go through all of this. I mean, you know.
You have 30 seconds remaining.
Dude, like, really, like, actually, like, I mean, in all seriousness, right? I stayed up all Monday night to write these reports.
You have 15 seconds remaining. Detailed. I started your timer late. in addition to that, so you have a grace period. If you have any final thoughts.
Are we actually being serious right now? Like, in like, just from a human connection perspective, I stayed up until 5 a.m. last night crunching the numbers that they sent me.
That is time.
Point of information.
Point of information recognized.
Like, can we like go into debate about this? This taking forever. Like,
no.
Like, so we the time has happened. Like, the time for the report has been has gone through. We then have a additional 5 minutes from GJAC to appeal. And then after that, we can enter debates. Vice President Parikh.
Motion to suspend the rules and extend Vice President DiLorenzo's time to finish explaining the report so we know context of the situation.
Second.
There's a motion. There's a second. Any dissent? There is a dissent. We will now go into voting. A reminder that this will take 2/3 of the assembly to pass. All those in favor, please raise your placards. All those against? All those with proxies voting for? All those with proxies voting against? All those abstaining? In a motion of 14-3-2, that does not pass. We did not meet the threshold of 18.
2/3 of those voting for total quorum.
Was there anyone here who was ineligible to vote? Did those on the Zoom vote?
I voted.
I didn't. I'm just going to abstain.
Abstain?
15.
Okay, in a vote of 15-3-0, this motion passes. The time has now been extended. VP Parikh, how long did you say you wanted to extend the time for?
10 minutes.
You have an additional 10 minutes.
Appreciate it. So I thought this charge was accrued in the past, and then it was made up within that year. In talking with McKenna and Lauren, they then, you know, I said, hey, listen, like, it'd be great if I could have this data. I'm going to be working on some stuff that you send me. And so they sent me basically, you know, screenshot folder of all the campus group stuff. Long story short, with campus groups, there were some issues accessing it because they don't have the access to go back into the archive budgets. So I sat there pretty much all night playing around with ChatGPT, trying to see if we could like add up those numbers to make sense within their accounting books to see if something could work out, right? Within that amount, I then sent an email around 5 a.m. Saying like, hey, these are the numbers that I came up with. I don't know if these are right. I appreciate the help. And if you guys can get the numbers to me by today at like 3, then I can take a look at them before the meeting and we can come to a better picture. So Lauren sent me then this info around 2:30 today, and I worked on it right before this meeting. So with this new data that was brought up with GJAC, we could see that in a few instances, sorry, I'm just pulling out the stuff. So they broke it down to like their projected spend for this year, their academic year 22-23, and then academic year 21-22, and then academic year 22-23 from the GJAC budget. So it provided more info for those expenses. So then in looking at the 21-22 funds, everything looked good to me, but I think one of the key considerations was how much does the free period products initiative actually cost? And so in this amount, while we can't say the number, if you multiply like 27,575 by $1, it was around that during that year. Yeah, I mean, equivalently, then I looked at the sheet and then I was like, okay, like time to move on to the academic year 22-23. And so in digging through all of these numbers, in addition to the meeting minutes that GJAC had sent over to me earlier, I believe like last week, something like that. I was basically able to go back in and parse for the 2021 and 22 academic year, their co-sponsorships, their internal expenditures, programmatic expenses, and then do that for the 22-23 academic year. So within these co-sponsorships, I was able to basically get the amount right for a majority of them. There were some discrepancies, I would say namely with the Gender Equity Resource Center, of it missing around a charge of $4,135.92 times one. And then there was just one other small charge that I can find evidence for, but it was essentially irrelevant in terms of the grand scheme of things. And then also for consent ed, I couldn't find that approval for that that group as well. And so, you know, going through all of these, then I moved on to this year, and then they also provide a breakdown of their budgets and expenses. So getting into that, now we have a better, you know, more clear picture of what actually was going on for a little bit. So in terms of like the actual yearly expenses, the expense that they incurred last year, that $59,000 charge, that was actually for the products last year, as well as the products for this year, meaning that this year they would not incur those expenses. And so in terms of looking at their total budget breakdown of what they expected to spend, yes, they expected around, you know, this new projected model around 110,000 times one, they expected to spend that amount. But if that charge was taken away and moved back to last year, then their new sort of expenses for this year would be around 82,500 times one. So, you know, in breaking this down more, there are still some numbers which, you know, aren't really providing, like there's some discrepancies in here. And so I think it's worth the discussion after with them to see if we can parse it back together. But in looking at the total overall amount of money, right, basically if GJAC was moving along this assumption that those expenses will be incurred for this year, and that was already baked into the budget, then for the next 2 years, we would have to add that part back in because this year's products were already paid for. In looking at, you know, because the projected expenses didn't really vary from year to year in terms of like, you know, would that change anything? The biggest driver that I was able to notice is that this year they expect to basically take their allocations from, you know, last year they allocated somewhere around $15,791 times $1 to organizations. And this year, that's supposed to go up around 5x, so up to around $75,000. That's sort of broken down into giving a pretty substantial amount of money to the Gender Equity Center's 50th anniversary, which I don't know has been, if that's occurred yet or if that's been heard, something like that. Also looking at this Kimberly Crenshaw event, their regular co-sponsorships, which have a soft target of around $25,000 to fund per year. And then in addition, that additional 10K, which is like promised to organizations as part of their budget. And so, in looking at all these numbers and breaking them down more, I'm really seeing sort of what's going on. If last year's amount were to basically be equivalent to this year, you know, increase the level, average it from the past 2 years, then the GJAC allocation of, I believe, around $1.75 per year for the next 2 years, including this year's expenses, would leave them with an ending balance of somewhere around $24,700 at the end of academic year 26. And then, you know, if we say, all right, like soon suddenly we're going to approve all this extra funding and they're just going to go up 5x in terms of funding, then an allocation of around $3.15 would actually suffice in this case. And so, you know, I think it's definitely worth more of an investigation in terms of, you know, getting these numbers actually correct. Like, I feel like we're very, very close to there. And it's just a few more questions and accounting discrepancies that I noticed. Like, you know, for example, there were only 4.5K worth of like campus groups charges, but on the sheet that GJAC submitted, I could see that in that year for programming campus groups expenses, I believe they're around 6K, right? So like differences like that and really figuring out what's actually going on. So, you know, I just my perspective on this, I've dedicated probably the most time to this organization in terms of this byline report. And I'm committed to getting this number right so that we as a student assembly don't over allocate or under allocate the money and we can ensure that GJAC can succeed in the future. At this current time, I do not feel comfortable giving out a number and saying, hey, I think this is like what they actually need. because at the end of the day, it's just throwing darts at a board at this point. And I've given it probably at this point an aggregate of 10 to 15 hours of trying to figure this out, and I just can't do it yet. So I would encourage everyone, you know, we can listen to their response of this, but in terms of, you know, talking about this more offline and figuring out how much they actually need so we could get a better picture, I feel that would help the overall student activity fee, as well as just us as a student assembly to doing our due diligence to actually see and evaluate these different organizations.
Hi, I'm Kira Tradiak. I'm an e-board member of GJAC, and I'm also a freshman.
And I'm Aria Sickler-Avery. I'm also on the e-board, and I am also a freshman. We have our argument printed out for you. There's not enough copies for everyone, so if you could share, but Kira's going to pass those around. Firstly, from the entire GJAC e-board, we would like to thank all of those who spoke on our organization's behalf. During open mic, we see you and we applaud you. We're speaking on behalf of GJAC, requesting that for the SAF 2024-2026 allocation cycle, our funding remains at $3.45 per student per year, as opposed to the Appropriations Committee's allocation of $3.35 per student per year. After reviewing the rationale of the committee, we have not found a compelling reason for a 10-cent decrease in funding and maintain that our requested quantity of $3.45 is essential to the mission of our organization. The difference in overall funding allocation between our requested quantity and our received quantity was 10 cents per student per year, or about $1,534.50. In order to demonstrate why the Student Assembly should not decrease our funding, we will first outline the club's past and present successes, and then we will address the issues outlined in the Appropriations Committee's rationale. GJAC has had and continues to partner with organizations on campus and called co-sponsorships. To clarify, GJAC has no sub-organizations, only partnerships. This year, we reached out to 10 identity and advocacy-based organizations, the list being written in the appeal document we handed out, including organizations like MECA and NASAC. We have offered up to $1,000 for these organizations to plan events, assigning a liaison e-board member to cultivate partner relationships. To address the rationale, the $1,000 offer was not a cap, but is a good example of our careful spending. In addition to this specific outreach initiative, GJAC partners with and funds other organizations and their events. In this past year, we provided an ASL interpreter for Take Back the Night and funded Pole Posse's Poltergeist Showcase and Collective X's general budget. Many of these co-sponsorships are for smaller sums than the $1,000 outlined in the committee's rationale, which could potentially be negatively impacted by the decrease in allocated funds. In addition to co-sponsorships, GJAC has had and continues to have many of its own programming initiatives to advocate for gender justice and connect with our community. Some of our most popular programs include our weekly Feminist Food for Thoughts, FFFT meetings, Barbie Night Tonight, giveaways, and book raffles, all of which rely on funding to continue. Finally, a core portion of GJAC's mission is promoting access to much-needed reproductive, gender-affirming, and sexual health care. This has included funding and providing Plan B, pregnancy tests, condoms, and menstrual products in the Gender Equity Resource Center. In previous years, we provided trans tape, though it is currently available through Cornell Health, meaning this change in funding would not impact access to it. To see funding information, which Kira will discuss, refer to the spreadsheet shared by Lauren. In addition to the giveaways provided in the Resource Center, GJAC is responsible for stocking menstrual products throughout campus. This is a massive undertaking as we are providing resources for over half the student body to alleviate students' economic burden of having to purchase menstrual products.
And to address the rationale of the committee, first, FFFT, just to clarify, it's one of our most popular programming events and has been running with consistency for 15 years. We will continue to host FFFT events and have communicated with Flora Rose Dining Hall to continue the event for the entirety of this year. The portion of the rationale that outlines the frequency with which FFFT meets was inaccurate. As Rocco said, an email was sent, including the documents on page 4 are screenshots of FFFT meetings from 22 to 23 academic year from campus groups and our Instagram showing that we met more than once. I think we met around 10 times. It's also important to note that recorded attendance for FFFT does not accurately represent the actual attendance because not everyone signs in. Second, the biggest misconception about the in the Appropriations Committee's rationale with about the menstrual product giveaways. This is where the bulk of the Appropriations Committee rationale for the decrease in funding occurred. I'm not going to go over everything in the document because the arguments about like the menstrual products being in the men's bathroom were not really outlined today. But just to clarify the funding of menstrual products in the Cornell bathrooms, the free period product initiative began with an initial $70,000 from SA Infrastructure Committee in 2019. GJAC supported the continuation of the program with a contribution of $27,575 times one in academic year 2021, which is around 38% of our budget, and a continued commitment to the in their byline application for 22 to 24, totaling $31,440 times one over 2 years. Since permanent funding has not been found, when the original purchase order was depleted late this past summer, the time has come to make the funds available for the new round of purchasing. In addition to the promised $31,440 times one, GJAC has contributed an additional $27,575 for the 23-24 school year for times one, for a total of $59,063. So to be clear, the figure includes this year, the figure that was mentioned in the past speech, so it doesn't take up that much of our budget. This will be an expected 25% of our budget this year. The money still shows up in our account because that is what will be hit when facilities make the necessary round of purchases. Furthermore, menstrual products orders are made in bulk about once a year when a refill is needed. In total, we've given away 322 cases of pads, 230 cases of tampons, and 360 cases of liners. To address the appropriations committee rationale that GJAC's menstrual product data is lacking or outdated, I'll still read the responses. First, due to COVID-19 and Cornell's shutdown in mid-March 2020, there's an excess of period products given students were not on campus to utilize them. So we've been in the same trial period that began spring of 2020 because the initial purchase order of period products had not run out until very recently. And as products are not restocked until then, a new order is not able to be made. We've also distributed QR codes to help improve our like data collection. So we're expecting that to improve going forward. But we don't think that that's a real rationale to decrease funding for this year, given that menstrual products are clearly being used. We find it disheartening that the Appropriations Committee has chosen to decrease GJAC's allocated funding from $3.45 to $3.35. We appreciate the Appropriations Committee's suggestions regarding improving our data collections and being more clear about our funding, and we fully intend to make changes, but we believe that cutting funding is not an appropriate response to these issues. This decrease in funding, which currently totals over $1,500, will have a tangible effect on the organizations which we partner with and those who rely on our giveaways. To illustrate this point, while perhaps a small quantity in the grand scheme of things for student assembly, this funding could mean menstrual products, a pregnancy test, or Plan B for a student in need, all of which our organization provides. In other words, somewhere in the important work of gender justice advocacy, cuts will have to be made. As outlined above, we have been increasing our projected spending since previous years to encourage a more inclusive, welcoming, and safe campus environment for women and gender minorities. Please do not reverse the positive trajectory of our coalition on a mere suspicion that there is room for cost cutting. We appreciate your taking the time to consider our funding request and support for our organization's mission.
The floor is now open for debates. VP DiLorenzo.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Appreciate it. Going through all those new numbers. I think, you know, just to note, at least for the committee's rationale, and, you know, the committee did feel this way in a majority fashion. But under this assumption, and this is assuming those late charges, what we're projected to spend and stuff like that, right? You spend a lot of money on this. And if it's just being bought and then shipped off and you have no oversight, it's very difficult to understand the efficacy of the program and how efficient and how more efficient, how much better you can make the program. You know, under this new total budget that we've gone through and calculated, although it's not 75% of this overall expenses of GJAC, it's still in the ballpark of 57 to 60% of their overall budget. And I feel like if, you know, we as student assembly, right, if I was managing the money and I just pressed a button and it got rid of 60% of that money, I mean, people would ask questions about where that money actually went and what it's being used for. And I get that we know it's going to this initiative and you know, it's a good thing that it is, But at the same time, I feel like it's you got to have more of an understanding of what's actually going on, separate from what was in the report. But, you know, during the Appropriations Committee hearing, we would ask questions about some of the spending and finances. And it was very hard because some people had one conception of like how to, you know, how this worked. And then other exec board members didn't really understand. And then we had to be corrected again. And so I feel like even, you know, even assuming, right, assuming that this is the charge, it's going to be going forward this way, and GJAC's going to be expecting to spend this, and we have $335, it's only $1,500. And, you know, to that point, it's like, I can't believe we're arguing over this amount of money when GJAC currently in their reserve account balance has somewhere in the ballpark of, you know, $35,000 to $33,000 just sitting there. And so it's like, if the justification is this is going to hurt other programming, it's like, why don't we dip into some of the reserves? Like, we've told that to many other bylines, given this year's massive increase in funding. And I think further from that point, because that's under the assumption that the 335 number is accurate, I can't say and sit here with a straight face and say that that number is even remotely accurate anymore now, knowing these new findings. And if anything, right, if this new proposed budget breakdown that I've kind of created in the past few hours like indicates anything, it would be that that amount would actually be lower than 335. In fact, it would be around 310 to 320, somewhere in there, of how much the funding should actually, you know, go to GJAC to make sure that they're successful over the next two academic years, they can coast down more on their rollover account, and they can just keep killing it as an organization. And, you know, that is still that 315 number, right? That is still under the assumption that we're okay as an appropriations committee with GJAC going from 15,791K of spending in this past year for their allocations, moving that up to 75K for this year. And so it's like, I don't necessarily know if this is the move the student assembly at least should take as of right now. And I encourage at least more an in-depth discussion, make sure that we get this number right. You know, I mean, we've dedicated so much time to this already, and it's clear that people are passionate about it. And we as a student assembly just have a duty to actually get the amount of funding right.
Thank you for that. Seeing that this is a hotly contested issue, I will set a speaking limit of 90 seconds to encourage more succinct debate. That being said, Representative Everett.
Thank you. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, my name is Kara Severin. I'm the LGBTQIA liaison at large here on the Student Assembly. Representative DiLorenzo, thank you for all of your work going into this. It is very detailed. However, I am strongly opposed to it. You know, for starters, for the new members on the assembly that may not know this, we actually voted on a resolution earlier in the year to combat this exact issue when there were orgs that had a substantial amount of rollover funds. We voted on a resolution to ensure that if an org had a substantial amount of rollover funds, those rollover funds could be taken and given to a different organization that may need the extra aid or the funding. And so I think that it's a little preposterous to A, use that as a justification to cut funding because we made a resolution that was using those rollover funds to help other organizations. As for the tampons in the men's restroom being poorly used or being put in the trash, I don't think that that's an issue with GJAC and rather an issue of transphobia. It should not be GJAC's responsibility to have to defend themselves against transphobes. If there aren't tampons being picked up, it's because people do not feel empowered to go in the restroom because they see that those tampons are in the trash. You know, I think that we need to decrease the priority on getting collecting data because, you know, we have a. Oh, is that it? Is that time?
That is time.
Right. I'll spin back.
Representative Wallen.
But we get to respond.
Viva yes. DiLorenzo, you have a minute and 30 seconds to respond.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, Kara's completely agree with you, right? It, in all honesty, right, it isn't their responsibility to police the usage of that. I think more of that seeking of data and creating a better overall program is understanding how many go into a restock, maybe go in and check throughout the week to measure, you know, the rate at which they're being used and recount that number backward. I think at least, you know, GJAC overall, right, like it, staying with the 345 number, right? I absolutely do not think it's a good idea at this current time, because we actually don't know what the target number is, right? And in terms of the rollover, we've pretty much told so many of these organizations and guidelines, hey, you can ask for an increase and that's okay, but we may not be giving you the entire increase. And in fact, we're going to give you a little bit less to coast down on that rollover over the next 2 years. I mean, currently right now, right, it's like we can all sit here and say, you know, GJAC is fantastic, right? But in terms of warranting, you know, placing their mission over the financial component behind it, I don't think is a wise decision when we're already looking at such a large increase in, you know, the student activity fee in general. And you know, I don't know how next week's meeting is going to go, as well as the meeting after that at this point.
The GJAC reps, you each have a minute and 30 seconds to respond.
So I just want to address the first statement. Basically, the issue of oversight seems to be the main concern, that we're inconsistent with our numbers. As outlined in the document, we've distributed QR codes to try to track these better, but we do believe that the burden of proof should be on the appropriations committee to prove that we should be funding less, as opposed to in order to prove that we should decrease the funding, right? Because we know that menstrual products are being used now by the people that need them, and we're purchasing them on a need basis by the custodial staff. Just the funding is what we provide. So I think that unless if there's data to back up that those menstrual products are not being used, there's not a compelling reason to decrease the funding, especially not more than they already have. And with the issue of it only being $1,500, I do think it is a big deal in the grand scheme of things, because as we've outlined in our speech, that can make a difference for someone. That can mean a pregnancy test, or that can mean plan B for someone who...
Oh, you have 30 more seconds.
Well, so also $1,500 doesn't seem like a large sum, but with some of our co-sponsorships, those don't go over $200 sometimes. So that could amount to several co-sponsorships. It could amount to several more products in the Gender Justice Equity Center or in the bathrooms themselves.
Point of information
recognized.
If we were to calculate basically the average allocation that they're giving to these organizations per year, I mean, the average comes out to, in the 2022-23 academic year, it's around $1,973. And so the narrative that like this could stop an organization from applying and granting this $200 charge, I don't really see that being a huge issue. In fact, there are no one.
Was there a point that you wanted to ask the assembly?
The point of information is like, I have information that they just stated that I know is factually incorrect based on the sheet, but
Oh, so just to be clear, some examples of our current co-sponsorships that are less than $1,000 includes $500 to fund collective access general budget, $437 for Pull Policies Poltergeist Showcase, and the Take Back the Night ASL interpreter was $440. So those are all examples of things that could be cut if we're allocated less funding.
Parliamentary McGuard.
The chair has asked me to clarify. A point of information is to ask the assembly a question or a bill sponsor a question. And a point of order is used to point out a mistake that has been made. A point of information is not to make commentary.
Got you.
Representative Wallen.
Hey, thank you. I find it utterly disgusting that the thought of reducing GJAC funding was even brought up. This year alone, we're having Cornell speakers who call for a genocide of transgender individuals, sexual assault on campus with allegations levied towards the now-removed ex-president-elect of the Student Assembly, and women's rights being targeted on a national level. We can give $500,000 to Slope Day and giving money to less important organizations such as Outdoor Odyssey. Like, we don't know what that is. And we're nitpicking pennies, nickels, and dimes for gender justice, a keystone violent organization on campus. This sets a dangerous precedent. It feels petty, it feels dystopian, and it feels diametrically opposed to all that we as student assemblies should stand for. I urge all of you to appeal this recommendation and vote favorably of the $3.45 GJAC has requested. It is only 10 cents.
Phoebe DeLorenzo, you have a minute and 30 seconds.
Thank you. I've been very clear about this going through this entire byline process, and I opened up the initial meeting with all the byline organizations by saying this byline process is not going to be based on your mission or any other external factors. It will be based in terms of the financials, and every single byline org will be treated the exact same way. We've dumped an incredible amount of due diligence into these organizations to make sure that we get their funding right. In the last cycle, not for nothing, but I think it was screwed up just a little bit. And a lot of these orgs went on and they hurt for it, right? And I think that it's a disservice to the students to not be able to get this amount right. And I think it's a disservice to GJAC and any other byline if we can't get their amount of funding right. Because for all we know, this amount of money that I've calculated could have been wrong, could have been higher than 345. And we're just at a point now where we don't know this information. It's not really clear. We have a much more clear picture than we did, you know, 24 hours ago. But at this point, I just don't feel like voting them out is a wise idea of the student assembly.
The representatives from GDAC, if you'd like to make a response, you each have a minute, 30 seconds. Seeing none, Representative Rezika.
Hi, sorry, I'm currently on the GJAC e-board. Am I allowed to respond if I've not been sitting up here?
Yeah, if you want to also like continue making comments, I also recommend you bring a chair up if you think you'll be continuing to respond to comments moving forward.
I want to clarify the new information that was sent because I'm the one that compiled that spreadsheet. My name is Lauren. I'm on that GJAC e-board. The new data that was sent was taken directly from the account ledger for GJAC. Previously, we only had access to campus groups because students don't have access to the account ledger. So all of the new numbers are what is accurate and has actually been taken out of the GJAC account. So I just wanted to clarify that. And if you look at the new spreadsheet, I don't know if they have that. I don't know. I emailed it. I emailed it earlier. You can see that most of our allocation every single year for $3.45 has been used. And if you look at our projected spending for 23-24, the reason we have a significant increase in our allocations is for one-time very costly events like the Gender Equity Center's 50th anniversary. So you can see that we have a significant allocation increase, which can account for our rollover, as well as the typical spending that we are projected to use as shown by the 22-23 and 21-22 data.
Representative Rezika.
Yes, I would urge everyone on the student assembly to vote no to the appropriation committee's recommendation of $3.35. I feel like it sets a precedent to when we defund like GJAC, I feel like it sets a precedent that we don't value like gender justice on campus. Whenever I speak to administration about any issues regarding student orgs, they tell us that we choose who we want to fund. We choose what we value through how much money we give them. And to set a precedence to give GJAC less money shows that we don't support gender justice on campus. And I think that like that's a horrible precedence to set. Further, I feel like last week we chose to give Cornell Odyssey, a program that only serves 150 students on campus, an extra $1.90. If we can give them extra money for something that serves like a very small portion of this population, Cornell University's population, we should be able to give GJAC 10 extra cents, which they're asking for. It's not even that they're asking for more money. They're asking for the same amount of money that they've already gotten.
Point of inquiry.
I am now going to set a speaking time to 1 minute. Stevie DiLorenzo.
I mean, you know, to your point, right? Forget the fact that we've all been gaslit into thinking that the students have to pay for these free products when Cornell University should be paying for them instead. Beyond that point, and like, you know, I honestly think it's Cornell dropped the ball for a long time, and they still do. Regardless, we just heard from another member of the GJAC board that these numbers they sent were accurate. And I'm telling you right now, in terms of crunching this number and finding out how much they have in the rollover, where it's going to take them, an allocation of between $3.14 and $3.
Can you please speak up?
I'm telling you right now, if we have these numbers confirmed and I'm able to crunch the numbers and figure out how much I actually need, this amount of money that they would need is between $3.14 and $3.16 for the next two academic years. And so I want to make sure that we get this fee right. I don't know if I have to make the motion to table, but I think it's a good
idea. That is time. Thank you so much, BB DeLorenzo.
Point of inquiry for the proletariat.
Point of inquiry recognized.
What was the thing we did, I think it was last meeting, where we kind of did like a straw poll just to test the waters about where the vote would be, but not actually doing the vote?
Yes, that's something we can do. If Executive Vice President Ting would like to do a straw poll, she can either initiate that on her own, or if someone has a motion to do a straw poll, we can do it that way too. But regardless, someone will need to make a motion to either adopt or reject this recommendation.
Point of inquiry recognized.
So this is also for the parliamentarian. What procedures are available for audience members who wish to speak on this matter? We've had a few audience members who've raised their hand who want to issue comment, and I was hoping that could just be clarified a bit. Yeah, so any community member can speak to the student assembly. They have just as much speaking privilege as any member of the assembly, so just would have to get recognized.
You in the back over there, if we can get that person a mic. Please speak clearly into the mic. The entire room to hear, but also for those on the Zoom as well.
Before anything, just want to make sure, was I being yielded to speak? Is that correct? Okay, cool. Just a few things I want to say. All GJAC is asking for is simply just to maintain the status quo with their budget, simply as stated before. And just also want to put it out there, if you were to see less household fires, you don't defund the fire department. If you see less people getting HIV, you don't defund the public health department. So the fact that there's a notion that people aren't really utilizing the menstruation products or any of the other services that GJAC is providing, a essential social service for LGBTQ folks, the fact that there's the notion that there is that needs to be defunded is really concerning. Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm going to make a motion to do a straw poll to adopt the appropriation committee's decision. So that being said,
can I give my response to that?
No.
Yes. What?
So I'm going to motion to make a straw poll to adopt the resolution.
I think the sense of neutrality has been lost by the chair, but that's just my hypothesis. It's my feeling.
I'm going to go ahead and call the question.
I move to do a straw poll to see if we will accept the appropriation committee's recommendation.
Second. There's a second. Do we have any dissent? Seeing no dissent, was that to straw poll, or could you please repeat your motion?
It was a straw poll to see like where everyone's at, right?
Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and do straw poll.
Of inquiry. Yes means you would adopt the recommendation of 335. Mm-hmm. No means you would reject the recommendation of 335.
That is correct.
And point of information, we need 2/3 majority to reject it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Nicholas, what was the motion before?
It was a point of...
Point of order. So just with this amount, I guess, to clarify, GJAC requested 345. The appropriations committee recommended to give them 335. I'm sort of saying up here right now, we need more time to determine it, but it's likely to be lower than 335. And so if you vote yes to adopt 335, or at least straw poll, then you'd be okay with 335. If you vote no, then either you want it to go higher or you want it to go lower. And so I feel like we're at like this kind of gambit right now where it's like, all right.
So the straw poll question on the floor is to adopt. All those in favor of adopting the appropriation committee's decision, please raise your placards. All those against? And all those abstaining.
Okay. I motion to vote on the Appropriations Committee's recommendation.
We just
to reject.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor to reject the Appropriation Committee's decision. All those in favor, please raise your placards.
This is point of information. A yes is to reject it, a no is to accept 335.
Yes. Okay, so all those in favor of rejecting the Appropriation Committee's decision, please raise your placards. And all those opposed? All those abstaining? And a vote of 19-0-0. Oh, thank you for that. Great catch. All those with proxies voting yes to reject. All those with proxies voting no. And a vote of 21-0-0. We will be rejecting the Appropriation Committee's decision.
So I would like the motion to increase the funding of DJEC to $3.45.
Dissent.
There's a motion. That is an order. Do we have a second?
Dissent.
There's a second. Is there dissent?
Dissent.
There's now a dissent. We'll go into voting. All those in favor, please raise your placards.
What information?
Well,
yeah, we're moving too close.
So this is to raise, my motion was to raise DJAC's appropriation to $3.45, what they have asked for. So voting yes would be to raise it by the 10 cents, which they have asked for.
Is this debatable?
This is debatable. Okay. So we're voting on if we want to enter debate to discuss this.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Okay. Yeah. Nicholas, you do your thing. Yeah, there you go.
So because there is a dissent, we're now in debate.
Okay.
BB DiLorenzo?
I would just like to add and encourage everyone. Well, yes, we can just say, yep, all right, we're going to book it. We're going to pencil down 345. The odds at this point, although it might not have been done in the past, although I thought that was the case, the odds of this fee gets decreased is so substantially high. And I feel like, or like, you know, the overall student activity fee, right? Pollock rejects it. And I feel like at least if we do our due diligence, we're able to tell a story and say, hey, we got this amount of money and it's a correct amount and we can't go any lower than that. That would serve us very well in terms of going forward in the next 2 weeks. And while I get the sentiment that people are like, and I agree, GJAC is important, but I feel like basing that on just what they do in their mission is not a sound financial decision that we should be engaging in.
Point of information.
What have information recognized?
Would I be allowed to ask a question to the presenters? Or do I have to like wait?
Claire.
So I would be able to ask a question to the board or the people presenting. Mm-hmm.
Point of information recognized.
Could I like, can someone yield time to the other, to community member if they wanted to speak or somebody on the GJAC board?
Yes. Okay. The time is 6:25. We will need a motion to extend time. Parliamentary Magard.
I move that the time be extended to 7 p.m.
Second.
There's a second. Is there any dissent? That was by unanimous consent?
Yes.
That motion passes. The time will now be extended to 7 p.m. Okay. We are back in debate. Were there any points or motions on the floor? Vice President Parikh.
Thank you. I just have a question like for the GJAC members so I could get like a better understanding of why exactly like there is a discrepancy. So
I know there's been a lot of discussion of this rollover budget that you guys have, and I'm just wondering, like, why would you not be able to continue functioning as you are if you use like the rollover funding instead of getting like this increase? Like, why? Yeah, like, why is this a roadblock? If you guys want to answer that.
Yeah, so we actually will be using the rollover funding for like one-time events like the Gender Equity Center's 50th anniversary, which we've already spent $15,000 on out of our rollover budget. We're not actually asking for an increase in funding. We're asking for our allocation to stay the same, which if you look at our 22-23 numbers on the spreadsheet I gave, which is accurate data that was taken directly from the account ledger, we use the entirety of our allocation and a little bit more. So asking to be at the same allocation means that we would use all of that allocation again.
So I guess.
Oh, sorry. Can I respond to that?
Okay.
The money taken from the account ledger originally didn't show that additional charge for this year in terms of the free period products initiative. I think it's very hard to decouple these different credits that are put into the budget account, as well as the spending behind it. And in terms of the numbers that you sent me, they don't line up to the numbers that I was able to find in all the other data that was provided by GJAC throughout the course of time. At this point, right, we're very close, but we can get this accurate, right? And I would rather have this be accurate than not. And even if the number ledgers were completely accurate, then GJAC would be basically worthy of a decrease down to $3.15 because they have the amount of rollover to coast them through the next few years with these expenses.
Point of information.
Point of information recognized.
Is the funding or appropriation to a club solely based on the amount of money, like the number stuff? Because last week we gave money to Outdoor Odyssey based off of what they could do. So like, I'm just confused on how the things work, because it doesn't, like, we're talking about numbers and penny, nickels, and dimes, but it's like, it doesn't seem like it's always coming down to the numbers, and the other factors can be taken place. I just don't know how it works.
So, yeah, I mean, in terms of the funding of all these orgs, you know, I originally, when I, you know, met with Outdoor Odyssey, I was not the happiest in terms of seeing what they've spent the money on and what programming they could do. I think, well, we treat each byline through this process equally. Each byline is different, right? It's a new business case every week that the Appropriations Committee and myself have to go in and examine. I think in the case of GJAC, right, it's, well, yes, we're going to see a minor expansion in programming. They have more than enough money currently in their reserve account to carry them through that without seeing a substantial loss in programming and events. And even with this new charge and information about, you know, the money that was bought for the products for this year that was expensed last year, you know, it kind of makes, for all intents and purposes, it makes the situation of 335 dropping down to 315, it makes that worse. It seems like if there was no appeal made, it would have been like, okay, fine, like we have X amount of money. And now that like we're actually digging more down into it, now it's kind of like, okay, well, this is actually how much you need. And you know, I think it's important to evaluate it throughout all the finances and the numbers and the rollover. But just like we kind of say, GJAC, we understand that year to year, you're going to have these discrepancies in terms of expenses and you know, you're going to bulk purchase products and, you know, spread them out through the next few years. And whether that's done in the accounting book, right, it's something that we have to go and decouple. So yeah, I guess I hope that helped answer the question.
Point of order.
Point of order recognized.
I was called on before a point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
So just like considering like what happened with Outdoor Odyssey last week and what the student assembly did, our decision to allow Outdoor Odyssey to receive their $1.90 of increased funding, so long as that they like, you know, put on 3 events per semester. So like looking through the Appropriations Committee report, it seems like a major point of contention was kind of like where the money, so for the period products, how money was then being given to the facility staff and they were ordering the products, then staffing the bathrooms. So I was thinking that maybe like, you know, some sort of like we could approve the recommendation of $3. The request of $2.45 with the like kind of contingency ensuring that like, you know, that the GJAC Center is the one ordering the period products, then giving it to facilities rather than having it the other way around, just so we're able to like, you know, track that money some more. And just to like, you know, pay transparency so you guys know how your money is being spent.
Yeah, I know this is like a very complex issue, and we do have like three other byline reports to get to. I do want to make sure that GJAC gets the funding that they need and they're not underfunded, but at the same time, making sure that we're like really accounting for everything in the situation here. I think it would be wise to like maybe take a little bit of time to consult that, like all the members of the assembly can consider all the data, consider all the information, and really get a better understanding of like what the situation is, because it's very hard to get it from like this format we have here. So I would motion to postpone this decision until next week's meeting, so that way we can really have a more informed vote on this and make sure you guys get the funding that you actually need.
There is a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Dissent.
All right, so we will now be voting on the motion to postpone. There was
second.
All those in favor of postponing, please raise your placards.
Point of inquiry. Sorry, say that again.
This is to postpone the decision, like the allocation amount, the question pending to next week. Okay, so that's. All those against? All those with proxies for? All those with proxies against? In a vote of 8 to 11 to 0, this motion fails. We are back in debate about the allocation amount. Vice President Letterman?
Yeah, thank you guys. And I'm sorry this is sort of such a complex and convoluted process. First, let me say, I really appreciate the work of the Menstrual Products Initiative. I mean, I think we just put an additional cost on so many people, and I'm glad so you guys are sort of taking steps to address that. What I'm trying to understand, and I thank you for preparing the written appeal here, is how that is billed year over year, right? Because I understand that some years there was a bulk purchase in 2019 from or sort of transfer in 70,000 from the SAIFC, but do you do that transfer to facilities annually? I understand sometimes it occurs biannually. I was just trying to understand that because, one, my hearing is not great, especially with the chimes, and I'm having trouble following exactly what's going on with the numbers here.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I feel like it's kind of the core of why there's so much confusion around GJAC's budget right now. So it was initially funded by IFC the Student Assembly Board that does the like one-time thing. They funded it initially, and then we continued the program year to year. Because of a delay in funding each year, our numbers were initially misrepresented. So in the 21-22 year, we were charged $27,575 times $1. But that was for the spring 2021 year. So it was a delayed charge to GJAC by 1 year. And in 22-23, we also incurred a charge that was delayed from the 21-22 year. So the charge that you see on 22-23 encompasses both that year as well as the 21-22 charge. And what you see on the 23-24 like projected charge is what we are going to be essentially like charged by facilities once they make that purchase. They don't make the purchase annually. They make the purchase whenever they run out of funds. So they do like a bulk order of supply and then restock the bathrooms as needed from that supply.
You can finish that thought if you want.
Oh, yeah. They restock from that supply, and then I don't even remember.
So the accounting method you use is called accrual accounting, where you basically purchase a fixed good upfront, like a fixed cost bulk goods, and then you spread both the products and the costs over time throughout the organization. I think it's important to note that just in that statement right there, we were told that the money was then charged in 1 year and then backtracked from the other year. But the sheet that was sent to me today says includes academic year 21-22 and 22-23. The 59,000 includes 27,000, which would be spending in the year academic 23-24. So, I mean, that just confused me again, even more. Like, how and when is this purchase and how does that flow into the budget? And I'm failing to sort of understand what's going on. I've literally tried every single way to understand it. And I feel like discussing this offline, getting the numbers straight and better understanding it is the most wise decision that both myself and the rest of the student assembly can make at this current time.
Point of order.
Point of order recognized.
F is, are we still doing my present, like my motion to, are we in debate for that?
Yes, we're in debate for that right now.
When a question is asked or when we debate, who has, like, who gets to respond? Is that just me or is that I'm going to be, so I have to yield my time to them?
Parliamentary Magard.
Specific precedent in terms of who gets priority over who. The only thing our rule does say, though, is that people that have not spoken yet take precedence over people that have.
Okay, so when someone speaks next, right, the order of priority for who speaks after that isn't going to be the past presenters, but they can still hear their time to them. Okay, thank you.
Representative Durham.
So first of all, as someone who like uses GGX products fairly often, I did even on like the day that I toured, I really appreciate this, and I would like to make sure that GGX gets the funding that they deserve. And I like what Vice President Barry said about a stipulation so that GGX doesn't have to essentially go through this again by cleaning up numbers for the next time around. And I wanted to ask GGX if they have a treasurer and have an intention of adding one if they don't already, just again to prevent this from happening in the future.
If the reps from GGX would like to respond.
Yeah, we have a treasurer, but it's a little bit difficult for the student treasurer to keep track of these things because it gets charged to an account ledger we don't actually have access to. Only our advisor has access to that. So all of our charges are seen through campus groups, but we can definitely try and work with like facilities to try and get that to be more collaborative.
Representative Barry with an E.
In terms of the funding and the accounting, what they're referring to is the Oracle backend system. That's a system that I have access to.
Was there a point of order that you wanted to make about speaking?
The point
procedure, the information?
Information, like the point of this information that I'm giving you right now. Is
Please wait to be recognized. A point of information is reserved for asking for information.
No, we got to keep decorum. This is a... You got to keep decorum.
Point of order recognized.
Together, we're not, none of this is following any procedure here. We need to figure this out, all right? I'm going to move that the assembly stand in recess for 5 minutes.
Second.
Dissent.
Dissent.
There was a motion. There is a dissent. We'll now be voting. All those in favor, please raise your placards.
Point of inquiry. Whoa, hold on now. Voting for what?
Since 5 minutes.
Okay.
Please raise your placards high. All those against? All those for with proxies? All those against with proxies?
Did we count the Zoom?
For those on the Zoom, can we get your vote one more time? Those on the Zoom, those who are voting for the 5 minute recess, please raise your hands. And all those against on the Zoom?
I'm going to abstain.
The vote is 16-5-0. This motion passes. We'll be recessing for 5 minutes. Thank you, Eric. All right. Vice President Letterman.
Thank you. We can come to an agreement. I move that the rules be suspended, that the report of the recommendation of the Appropriations Committee be recommitted to the Appropriations Committee for further discussion, and that the report of the Orientation Committee stand approved and that the assembly stand adjourned until Thursday, next Thursday at 4:45 p.m.
Dissent. Okay, dissent.
Is there? There's a second. There's a dissent. We will now be voting on this. The motion that's on the floor is to recommit this back to the Appropriations Committee, which is open to the public and meets on Sunday, to discuss the specific allocation amount to be discussed by next Thursday. Also, after this, we'll be very quickly approving orientation. So all those in favor, please raise your placards. All those opposed? All those with proxies in favor? All those with proxies opposed? In a vote of 14-5-0, this motion passes.
Done. Okay. All right.
This meeting is adjourned. Well,
improving orientation. What? We improved orientation.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. That was part of this. We're done.
What about? Oh, wait. We do not. What?
I should prove her. I should prove her.